Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you, one and all, for being with us. And I hope you enjoy the show wherever you are, whenever you are. We've got people who listen to the podcasts. I'm always amazed at how far-reaching the show has become, and it's great fun. So my guest tonight is Leah Yekutiel, who is a wonderful healer and has amazing stories to tell, but we will be with her in a minute after tonight's metaphysical music. And I thought I knew what I was going to talk about. And then just as before we were going on the air, I was given a clear message to switch my topic. And part of the reason is that every once in a while I get courted by a TV production company, and I'm an unusual enough guy that so far it hasn't happened, but I'm excited about what I'm hearing right now from this particular guy. And a lot of what we talk about is the kinds of buildings that would be the focus of whatever we would do on the show. And we were talking about various kinds of old buildings and the kinds of problems that can occur in those buildings. So one of the things that goes on in the real estate world now is what's called repurposing buildings. So there's some kind of an institutional or industrial or commercial building which no longer, for whatever usually economic reasons, can be used for its original purpose. And of course, somebody says, well, let's make it into offices, or we'll make it into shops, or we'll make it into condos. This is a very popular one. And basically looking at it as just a piece of property and a shell of a building, and let's experiment with that and turn it into another way of making money. The problem is that the history of the building stays in the energy of the building. So if it's, let's think of all the ones that I can think of. I've seen convents turned into condos. There is a very specific kind of energy in religious buildings, but especially in religious buildings where people have lived there doing their religious practice for years and years and years. That could be a good thing. That could be a difficult thing, but it's there. Taking it a step further, here in New England, we have a lot of mill buildings. In the early colonial days, the power source for industrial work was water power. And so the buildings are brick buildings built right on the edge of a stream, fast-moving stream, with huge wooden wheels that were moved by the stream, that moved very large mechanical devices inside the building to do textiles or do machining or that kind of thing. And those buildings were frequently had workers in them that were aged as young as 8 years old, because there were no regulations to limit child labor. And you could get a kid to work for less money than you could get an adult to work. So every one of those buildings had an enormous amount of pain and violence and death and all kinds of things, often for hundreds of years. But nobody thinks of that. It's just a really cool brick building with all this big wood stuff in it, and let's strip it out and make it into shops. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. And a friend who is a fascinating psychic took me into one. She said, I want to see what you get here. And the whole building had shops. It was a mill building, and it had shops, except for one large section on the main production floor of the mill building. And they couldn't get anybody to buy that, so it was a big empty space. No one wanted to build a shop there. And I stood there and laughed, because there were ghosts from four different time slots who weren't interacting with the people from the other times. They didn't they weren't noticing each other. So he had ghosts from 100 years apart. And there were a lot of them. I'm like, oh, yeah, that might make people uncomfortable. And it was, I don't frequently work on site, and I don't frequently get to see that kind of thing. But when you do, it's kind of, oh, this is hysterical. I didn't know that could happen. But think of other kinds of buildings. So, for example, here in Massachusetts, there is a history of psychiatric hospitals that were around for hundreds of years. And as you can imagine, the way that people were treated, and it was the best they knew how to do at the time, or maybe it wasn't, was not very kind and often painful and confusing and all kinds of things. This was before there were medications. And so these buildings, over the course of decades and hundreds of years, had many, many thousands of people that lived out their lives there, confused and in pain, and then they were buried in unmarked graves on the property. There was also something called the state schools, which were a similar institution for the developmentally disabled. And when they can't figure out anything to do with the property anymore, they try and sell it off and see if they can repurpose the buildings. You know, this is a great site and it's a great building and we should be able, nah, doesn't happen. The deals fall through. The property never, either it doesn't get sold or it gets sold and then the deals fall through and they either give it back to the state or it gets sold again. And people might build around the edge of the property, but the middle of it doesn't, because there's all of that energy and emotion and the ghosts of the people who died there that has not been dealt with. So why am I ranting about this other than I often rant about this kind of thing? Part of the underlying idea of all of that goes back to the colonial days, and we're a country that was colonized by the British. And the British did that all over the world. The sun never sets on the British flag was one of the things that was said. They had colonies all across the world. Spain had colonies, Portugal, the Dutch, there were a lot of others. But Britain had the largest share of all of that. And they would go to a place and there would be the indigenous population and they would treat them as primitive savages to be converted to Christianity, for one thing. But what they basically did was wipe them out. And the ones that they didn't wipe out, they kind of swept off into a corner. So our continent was completely covered with an amazing number of tribes, hundreds of tribes, millions of people. And now we have very small remnants in a few reservations in the corners. They did that in Africa. They're still doing it in Australia with the Aboriginal people. And somehow it's okay because they are taking over the land. These people are of no consequence and they're not Christian. I don't get it. But it's been done over and over again. The second thing they did was the whole issue of slavery. And people always focus on African slavery. But before there was African slavery, there was Irish slavery. People typically don't know the story of Britain enslaving lots and lots of Irish people and sending them around the world as slaves, as servants in buildings, but also as workers in fields. If you see light-skinned African Americans or Caribbean people with those bright blue and green eyes that seem out of place, that was the interbreeding of the smaller, very light-skinned, red-headed Irish with the African slaves. Think for a minute about a loved one being used as collateral for a loan, because they were. Or someone makes a bet and puts their slave up to hold the marker for the bet. Or has to pay their taxes or some other thing, and they do it with a human being. When I think about what slavery meant, not just that, you know, we talk about plantations, they weren't. They were slave labor camps. If you change the word, it changes completely. And all over the world, this kind of stuff was done, and we have the remnant of that. And every single site in every single country where that was done has an enormous amount of pain. An enormous amount of energy from what went on there. And then we try and go on and act like it's the 20th century and we can do this and we can do... No. We have to clean up the mess. So I'm not sure that was a cohesive thought, but it's part of what's been going on in my mind since so much of the work that I do is cleaning up things like that and things like military bases and psychiatric hospitals and other large properties where lots and lots of people went through very intense and painful times. I don't do it all the time, and it's very intense work, but it's very important work. We have to clean up our messes and not make any more messes. The most important thing that any individual has is choice, is free will. And I don't understand anything that anyone ever does that says, no, you can't do or be what you want to do or be because it doesn't fit the way that I look at things. I can't go there with anyone. Anyway, I don't know how metaphysical that was tonight, but that was tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to have a fascinating conversation with Leah Yekutiel. How are you tonight, Leah?
Excellent, David. How are you?
I am very good. And Leah, you are both a healer and intuitive and have an incredible story of how you overcame your own health issues. So I'm looking forward to hearing your story, your walkabout, and how all of that came together, because now you're helping people based on everything you went through.
Yes, that's very true. You know, sometimes you say we have to go through some drastic trauma in our life in order to awaken. And I guess that's what happened with me, and I think it happens with a lot of people that all of a sudden we awaken and we realize life is not just money, life is not just big house or big car or none of this, because life has a lot more meaning than that.
Yeah, I could go off on a rant about that too, but I won't.
And we all. It's just unfortunate that we have to go through this kind of trauma in order to wake up.
Right, right. To kind of look around and say, what matters? Because I have to really look at what matters now, because this is such an intense, challenging, perhaps life-threatening situation.
Yeah, I know. And why we are on this earth to start with? What is our purpose?
Right.
We can live for a reason.
So how did it unfold for you? I know the health story we can talk about, but did your intuitive skills and your healing skills unfold as part of your journey, your health journey?
No, actually, I got sick before I got so much involved into healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the healing stemmed from my radio show that I decided I'm going to interview energy healers, spiritual leaders, and health conscious personalities. And while I was interviewing all these people, I was taking their seminars, their healing, and I've done like 5-6 different modality of healing. And it was till I got involved with the reconnective healing, which really touched me very, very spiritually, emotionally, physically, when I received remote healing from the staff of Dr. Eric Pearl. And that was the time, and this was before he was a guest on my radio show. And after that, I read his book, and I took his seminar 3 times, and he's been my guest several times. And it's incredible, incredible experiences. And I, it's all the reconnective healing is a spectrum of that comprise of the full healing and evolutionary that continues of energy, light, and information. And it allows and helps self-healing. It can be done remote healing, in-person healing. And the healer actually is the catalyst, because the healing done through the universe, through God, who revealed himself to Dr. Eric Pearl. And that's how it all started.
So it was the process of having your own healing using that technique, and you then learned it. So you went through a very intense healing crisis, and you're helping people that go through similar healing crises now. Do you want to tell that story?
Yes, I did go through very, very traumatic breast cancer. And it was very traumatic for me because it was a total surprise for me. I did not have anybody in my family who had breast cancer. I did not know anybody who had breast cancer. I did not know anybody who had cancer. At that time, nobody would talk about it. Even if they did have it, they would not talk about it, unfortunately. And here, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was total shock. In all aspects of life, because I was all alone by myself. I was so ignorant, and I was healthy before. So all this happened all at once, and it was the process was very hard. Even though I did not have to do chemotherapy and radiation, because I caught it really, really fast, I actually received a spiritual message that something was happening in my breast. I just did not know what it was. So when I received this message, I pretended that it was nothing. And I was doing at that time some spiritual exercises to get rid of anything that does not serve us any longer. And that at that moment, when I was doing these exercises, I received this message that something was happening in my breast. Actually, I knew exactly where it, what spot. Usually, breast cancer people have lump. I did not have lump. Anyway, to make the story short, I disregarded it, but in the back of my mind, in my subconscious mind, it was there all the time. So after 3 months, I decided I'm going to go to doctor to check it. And at that time, they did mammogram, and they said, And a week later, they called me back to tell me that I need to go there to do another mammogram because the image was not clear and they wanted to be
They were expecting to see something and they didn't.
Yeah, right. And at that time, I did another mammogram and they told me, yeah, they discovered something abnormal. And from there on, I did not know any better. And whatever they told me, I did, unfortunately. And that's how it came about. I had biopsy and I had lumpectomy. For the people who do not know what is lumpectomy is, they removed part of the breast that they thought it was infected with cancers. And after that, they discovered that the margin was not clear, which means there were still cells in my breast, which they did not catch it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that I have to do mastectomy. Mastectomy is actually to remove the whole breast, which I did. I did not know any better. I did. And it was very, very traumatic because I had beautiful breasts. And all of a sudden, I have to live with one breast. It was terrible. Because it was emotionally so hard for me and physically so hard for me, I decided that I'm going to have implant.
Mm-hmm.
So to make the story short, I had 6 surgeries within 10 months.
Yikes.
Biopsy, lumpectomy, mastectomy, and then reconstruction, first time reconstruction of my breast. It was too low on my chest. So the fifth time was reconstructed again, to put it on the right place, and this time it was too high on my chest. And after that, I had another reconstructive surgery. This time it was in the right place, but it got infected.
Oh, dear.
And I had to go to the hospital for the entire week and the whole every day to take antibiotics via IV, hopefully to help the infection to go away. But it did not go away, and at that time I was so, so fed up with the whole procedure. I felt like a butcher's handling and cutting my breast. It was so ugly that I said, you know what? I do not want any more breasts anymore. All I want is just remove it, and I have to live with one breast, and that's it. And I showed up 9 o'clock in the morning at the hospital that I want to see my surgeon and said, this has to be removed. Well, we cannot do it now, da-da-da-da-da-da. Are you ready? I said, hey, you know, after 5 surgeries, I know how to be ready. And I want it to be removed today.
And here we are at the turning point in the story, and we're going to go to a break in just a minute. So hold on to it. We're going to come right back and tell everybody your website so they know where to find you.
My website is very easy, www.ilovemybreastcancer.com.
And we will talk more about why that's the statement when we get back. So I'm so, so sorry that the timing is the way it is, because I'm looking forward to the next turning point in your adventure. So we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. Here on Empower Radio, my guest is Leah Yekutiel, talking about her journey of healing and how she helps other people with their journey of healing. And we will be back with the Farkas Files in just a minute. Don't go nowhere.
A cat, and have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention, so you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head, like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Leah Yekutiel, who was just at the turning point in her story. So I'm sorry that we had to go to break. You were at the point where you were confronting your surgeon and saying, no, you have to do this now.
Yes. And I get it done the same day. I showed up at 9 o'clock. At 6 o'clock was a surgery. It was removed. And at that time, I was on my own suffering because I did not trust the doctors anymore. I had to go through hell. It was in year 2000, and imagine, and now 2015, I still have pain going through my chest.
Wow.
Where they had so many surgeries and so many scars, that tissue scars that still hurt me. So that's where we are. At that time, I was on my own, and I had to struggle to heal myself physically, emotionally, spiritually. And the result was writing my book, which is Making the Breast of It, the title of my book, which is really, really inspiring and encouraging women how to live and prosper with one breast or no breast at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our society, there is such a stigma for women who have breast cancer. There is this great misconception, especially in our Western society among men, people, that they believe that women who had breast cancer, they are not women anymore. And this is way, way, way far away from the truth. And that's how important reading the book. And by the way, the book is being made into a movie, David. Did I tell you that?
No, tell me.
Yeah, we have the script written, and we are in the process of funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to turn the thing around and help a lot of women and men to understand this aspect of breast cancer among women. Because the women are so scared to talk about it because of the reaction that the men have.
Right.
For example, it's even in my book, one of my girlfriends, named Diane, was engaged to be married. When her fiancé found out that she had breast cancer, he broke the engagement with her on the phone, claiming she was not a woman anymore.
That's crazy.
Phone, he broke the engagement with her. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
21st century, and there are so many people are so uneducated about this issue. And my purpose in my book and in my radio show is to educate the people. Wake up, people. We are in 21st century. We are all over. We know everything. So why not educate ourselves about this issue? And I wish I was educated about it prior to me getting this disease, which was because I took hormone replacement therapy. Which was prescribed by a doctor.
Right.
So, and this is the purpose of my show. I also, people who want to go and visit my website, they can go and download 25 breast health tips from my website. And this is for free. They can download it for free. And if they apply few of those tips in their everyday life, we can prevent so many cancers, so many breast cancers, and so many other diseases. You know, David, I don't know about you, but I know of a lot of in our society that we put doctors on pedestal. and we believe in whatever they say. And I was in the same category. And I wish I got the education that I want to educate other people about the same issue. If I had the education that I want to give other people, I would not take this hormone replacement therapy.
Sure.
And that caused my breast cancer. So the issue is, we have to wake up, we have to educate ourselves, because doctors can diagnose us, many times misdiagnose us, but unless we take control of our health, doctors are not going to do that. Because if we are healthy, doctors are going to be out of business.
Well, you know, in China, a doctor gets paid to keep you healthy. If you get sick, they don't get paid until you're well.
Oh, I think not in China. It's in Japan.
Well, also in Japan, but all over China still.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The village doctor gets paid if you're healthy, and if you're not healthy, you stop paying him until you're healthy. Because obviously he didn't catch something, didn't advise you correctly, or you would have maintained your health.
Yeah.
Very different worldview.
Totally different world.
Yeah.
And it's all money motivated.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
The other thing in China, the hospitals have the Western trained doctors and acupuncturists and Qigong masters and herbalists all working together as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very different from the Western model.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So you're kind of giving people some of that information, which is more available in a place like China, where they have a broader perspective on what maintains health. And incorporate a wider range of ways of approaching it besides the Western medicine model.
That's right. That's right. You know, there are a lot of organizations and groups now that they are doing a lot of holistic treatment. They mm-hmm. don't go through all this chemotherapy, radiation, surgeries. And I'm involved with so many different groups. And I go and talk and give education. And now the education is really open. If the people are interested, the education is everywhere, all over the internet. And it's for free. So let's use it, really. I mean, why do we have to go through hell in order to wake up?
Right, right. So in the book, you give people a wide range of background information on how to maintain their health, but also alternative treatments and things?
Well, some alternative treatments in the book, but mostly is emotional support to women who mm-hmm. are treated like they are not women anymore because they had breast cancer or they had mastectomy.
Right.
It's more emotional support and guidance. And there are so many exercises in the book to do in order to get in touch with the spiritual aspect of every reader. And they realize that we women are not only our breasts in order to be a viable, functional sexual being.
Right.
Yes, you know, I would like to have my breast too. But I don't have it. Let's face it. This is the truth. I have only one breast. So what am I going to do? Unless I pick up myself and I say, okay, Leah, you know, you have one breast. You are a spiritual being. I still can function like a sexual being, sexually. If the man does not accept me for whatever I am, then he's not the right man for me. That's all.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And if women accept it and learn to love themselves as spiritual beings, to love themselves and love their body just the way we are, that's it. And it's totally changed the spectrum of the image that many people build, that they are not, we are not women anymore, we are not functional sexually anymore. Yes, you know, you see, if a man, God forbid something happened to them, you know, and their organs, their penis was cut, yes, they cannot function as sexual being. They cannot function. But women can.
Well, most of the sexual parts of women are not on the outside. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
come on, folks. This is very basic anatomy.
Right. Sexuality exudes from inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And not from outside in. But in our society, they look at the woman, they go enlarge their breasts because men are attracted to breasts and worship breasts. And hey, you know what? I had beautiful breasts also, and I did not need even to go with bra. And I hated something was pressing on my body. But this is change. What can I do?
Right. I had a coworker who, this was many, many years ago, who was going, had to take some time off for a health issue, and we went out to lunch, and she shared, I was very honored that she shared it with me, that she had breast implants done early on in breast implants being available. And there was a problem with them, and she had to have them removed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't, I never would have guessed. It wasn't like she made her breasts very large, but she wanted to have that difference, and it created problems for her.
Oh, yeah.
And fortunately, you know, it was all fine. She came through it fine. But I am surprised at how many women get breast augmentation. We think of the, you know, the spectacular celebrity kinds of things, but evidently it's more common than I ever suspected.
Yeah, but the women don't usually talk about it.
Right.
They do it, but they don't talk about it.
And That itself can be a cause of problems because you're disrupting everything. The surgery is disruptive.
You know, exactly. The surgery is disruptive to the body. When somebody has a cancer of the tongue, are they going to cut the tongue? I mean,
The whole...
Makes sense. And there are so many different remedies, holistic remedies, to tackle this issue. Had I known about all this issue that I'm talking about right now, I would not be in the place I am right now.
Right.
And that's my mission in writing the book and my website and my radio show, is to educate, to enlighten people.
Right.
And it's for free. So just go and explore the other options. As I said earlier, doctors are messengers of the pharmaceutical companies. They know to prescribe medication. That's all they know. Because that's what the medical school teach them.
Right.
And they absolutely reject all this holistic, all this natural healing that's going on. Anything has to do with cancer.
Well, there are some who are, the leaders in the field who are starting to realize that all of this stuff is very important and needs to be included in the approach, but few and far between. So tell us again, I want to make sure people know the name of your book so they can go on Amazon and find it, and the name of your website.
The title of my book is Making the Breast of It. And my website is ilovemybreastcancer.com. All in one word, ilovemybreastcancer.com. And they can purchase my book there. They can download for free the 25 breast health tip. And I have so many articles that are all worthwhile reading them. And they're all for free. So please go and educate yourself, because nothing more important than education.
Yep. Well, we have a few more minutes, and I should ask you the first question I always ask when someone says my book is going to be made into a film, which is, if you could choose, who's going to play you?
Oh, well, I know who I wanted to play me was Suzanne Somers.
Ah.
You know, she had breast cancer.
Yes.
And she was very, very open about it, and she started writing books and all this kind of stuff about hormone therapy and all this kind of stuff. And now she's Dancing with the Stars. So I think it's going to be her, or maybe there are other, what's her name, Christina Applegate?
Uh-huh.
Christina Applegate had breast cancer also, and she talks about it very openly. And she is a good candidate to play me. And there is another person in the show business, Eddie Falcon. She played on the series called Nurse.
Yep.
She had breast cancer also, and she's openly talking about it. So I have three candidates.
Excellent.
How about that?
Excellent. It's a fun question, because then people are like, well, you know, who looks like me, and who would I like to look like? And
you know what? None of them looks like me.
Right, exactly, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah,
not the point at all, obviously.
Yeah, they went through the same experience, not as bad as I did, but, you know, they are at least talk about it openly, and
right.
They can bring some light into this issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have still have a few minutes. What do you want to leave people with? What's the focus that you would like people to leave with?
Focus is there are so many other ways of healing. And you see, the Western society focus only on the physical aspect. But we human beings, we have various different aspects. We have the emotional, the spiritual, the physical. So many aspects there is in our life. And we have to address this issue of healing in all aspects of life. Not only on the physical level.
Right.
Because on the physical level, they cut the breast, they cut the tongue, they cut the leg. But then what? But the healing has to take place on the emotional, on the spiritual level. And that's what's so important to do, to heal the person in all aspects of life. And when we approach healing in this comprehensive aspect of life, miracle happens.
Right. Right. It's always the emotional and spiritual healing that does the work that changes the physical body.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask me when I've been interviewed, what was the pivotal point in my life when I recognized that it's okay to live and function with one breast. And I tell them when I realized that I'm not my breast.
Right.
No. I'm not my breast. Yes, physically, I don't look nice. But who is perfect? Who is perfect? Nobody is perfect. Even people who have two breasts and they look gorgeous outside, they have problems with image issues. So who says who is perfect? And if the men really cannot handle a woman like me who has one breast cancer, who has one breast, then let's educate them and show that I'm not disabled. The person who thinks that I'm disabled because I have one breast is the person who is disabled, not me.
Right. Well, Leah, thank you so much for being on the show. Everybody be on the lookout for the forthcoming movie, Making the Breast of It. And we will look forward to hearing more about how that unfolds. My guest tonight has been Leah Yekutiel, the author of Making the Breast of It. And again, your website is?
ilovemybreastcancer.com.
Fantastic. Leah, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, David. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you and what you do, and you are marvelous.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And
if you've gotten curious at all about who this strange guy David is and what in the world I do, you can go to househealing.com. And cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling link, which goes to a calendar that will let you make an appointment with me to talk on the phone. And we can do an assessment of whatever's going on with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it happens to be, and see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show, you can find that also hiding in plain view at thefarkasfiles.com. And there will be this show in the archive, but also the 4.5 years, I think it is, of interviews with amazing, amazing people. So please go and check that out. The Farkas Files is on empowerradio.com. Every night at 9 p.m. with a new show on Thursdays, obviously, and we record live. There's the Empower Radio stream goes out on iHeartRadio and Stitcher and a whole bunch of others, but this whole idea was the work of one man, Brent Carey, and has turned into this platform where 24 hours a day you can get positive messages. And it's time to upgrade all the equipment in the studio, go to the next level, do a whole makeover of the machinery behind the magic. And to do that, there's going to be an Indiegogo crowdsourcing fundraising program, and I hope you'll contribute to that when we put that up. A little bit of money from a lot of people will let us take this to a whole different level. It's fantastic the way it is, but got to get rid of the dinosaur machines and get some other things to work. So until next week.
Now back to the Farkas Files.
We will be back with another fascinating guest here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.